Father God, we join together in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we come before your throne this morning and we ask, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak for the church this day. Lord, and in that, give us a heart of understanding that we might be able to apply, implement those things that we would learn, that your Spirit would teach us. Lord, that we would do the will of the Father and be able to declare right along with Jesus Christ, I only do that which I see the Father do. Lord, come, teach us. Come, be in our presence. Walk amongst us. Set your Spirit upon this place, we ask in Jesus' name.
Today our opening scripture is going to be Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. We record everything, and that's why we're trying to take care of the mic issues. But remember when we said the whole psalm a few weeks ago? And I asked, I text Pastor Janet when we were driving from California to here, and I text her, and I go, oh my goodness, I forgot the opening scripture. And I said, would you please, you know, work that out and not work it out, but, you know, find, pray, and see, God, what do you want us to have for our opening scripture? My mind was still heavy and just not thinking in that way. And so when she emailed me back with the scripture, I smiled because I go, see, Lord, I told them. I said, Psalm 103 is like our psalm for this year. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. And so I thought it was so neat. Then when Dr. Teresa, who will be here shortly, she's on her way, will be our guest speaker today. And when she shared with me the title that the Lord had given her, I said, how fitting, Lord, for the title is Hope and Healing. So I thought, wow, Lord, this is so cool. But I want us to say this out loud together in honor of our Lord by standing and praising him and worshiping him for his precious holy word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you and thank you for your precious holy word.
Now, as I was preparing for worship this morning, I just want us to remember the songs and the themes from even the first Sunday of the year, where he is telling us he's faithful. That was the theme for that one. He's faithful. Then the next Sunday was, remember why I'm faithful. I'm faithful because, and we spoke out loud why he is faithful. This Sunday, praise my name, bless my name, because I am faithful. And I am here, and I have been here. And where my presence is, there is healing. Where my presence is, there is praise. Where my presence is, there is peace. Amen. So as we enter worship right now, let's just remember those. How do you know him? Do you know him as your Prince of Peace? Do you know him as your best friend? Whatever name that comes to your mind right now, we're going to sing to him and bless it. because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, isn't it? And the righteous run into it and they're saved. Hallelujah. I want you to speak his name right now. Speak it out loud. We need to hear it. We need to hear what that name is. Speak it out loud. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Can we sing glory? Glory to the name of the Lord. Yes, we sing glory to the name of the Lord. To the name of the Lord Most High. Now let's sing blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Yes, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Go ahead and shout those names again. That you're our Prince of Peace, Lord. Lord, you're my best friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, he's a personal God. He is your God.
Well, I think we ought to continue this awesome worship to our Lord with our tithes and offerings, because we can't outgive our Savior. So Amen. Let's just thank him and seize upon this opportunity to give back to him. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to give to you. You have blessed us beyond our wildest thoughts, imaginations, and we are just so thankful and so grateful and so happy to be able to give to you what you provide. Lord, we ask you to bless and multiply these tithes and offerings, that they would go to spread your word and your salvation throughout this community and to all four corners of the earth. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
When my way grows precious Lord, linger near. When my light is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, on my precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for today. And we thank you for these, your tithes and our offerings, Lord, unto you. We present them to you, Lord God. We thank you that you are always faithful. You are always there with us. And the same goes when you ask us to obey you by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the power of your holy word. When we obey, there is blessings, many blessings. So we thank you for the blessings that are poured out on every part of this offering unto you, Lord, your tithes. I thank you and praise you that they are used in ways to bring glory to you, Lord, used in ways to help bring light to this world, not only in this community, but beyond. I thank you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings help with the Foursquare to help reach others, and that includes the missions around the world. But Lord, I pray that you will just continue to draw us unto you, Lord, in complete love and obedience. For this continues to be worship unto you, every act of obedience. We truly thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. That song I just sang is Take My Hand, Precious Lord by Reverend Thomas A. Dorsey. He was a blues band leader, and he wrote this song in 1932. So as I was asked by my brother to officiate my father's memorial service, I was looking up some facts about 1932, which was the year my father was born. And Tommy Dorsey started writing gospel music and went then to just singing Christian music when he became a Christian. So he used the gift and talent that God had given him and then pursued praise and worship unto him. In August of 1932, he was on his way to a concert, a tent revival, a very large tent revival that he had been asked to be the soloist and to sing. So he was on his way, and he had a small apartment in Chicago, which was only about 40 minutes away from where my dad was born. And in 1932, in August, my dad was born in March, this is when this happened. He was on his way, and he left the home, and his wife, he had left there, and she was very pregnant. She was, you know, due to have her their child in the last month of pregnancy. And she, he just, you know, didn't want to go. He wanted to be with her, understandably so, but he knew he had to fulfill this commitment. So as he was leaving on Route 66 to St. Louis, he remembered, oh, man, I forgot my music. So he turned around, went back, and when he got up to the room, his wife was asleep soundly. But he felt this little tug. I need to stay. But he said, but I've got too many people that are depending on me. So he went with his obligation, and he was there. At the end of the tent revival, when they kept asking him more and more and more, they were enjoying the praise and the worship unto the Lord. And at the end, he received a union telegram on the yellow sheet of paper. Your wife just died. He called home. He had a son that was born. She had died during the delivery. So he went and drove home quickly. His son died that evening. So he's burying his son. Here we have the precious birth and the precious life. There's a time to be born and a time to die. He just went through a real heavy time of grieving, kind of closeted himself, and when he was there in his apartment, dark and dreary, he was so grieving, he didn't want to serve the Lord anymore. He felt, God, why? I don't understand. And he felt injustice had been done, and he just wanted to go back to the jazz world that he knew so well. But then he was also in those days thinking about that time when he felt that little nudge to stay. And he didn't listen. And he made a vow to God. And he said, from that moment on, I vow to listen more closely to him. We are going to face challenges in life. And this year's going to bring more. But we need to not allow that to keep us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us and to obey, even when it doesn't make sense. But he knew God loved him. And in the midst of that grief, there came another Christian friend. What have I been asking us to do? We are the body of Christ, not just Pathway of Hope. So we are supposed to go out there, and if we see another Christian or a non-Christian, we are supposed to be the hands and the feet of the Lord and help extend his love to them. Well, here was a Christian friend, a professor at a college, and he went to the house, being led by the Lord, apartment, got him, took him to a college nearby, and just put him in the music room. It was quiet. It was at night. And all of a sudden, the Lord started flooding him with a love, with a comfort, with a peace. And he started writing. Flowing out of his hand and out of his mouth was this song. And he knew that the Lord was with him. Well, right now, we're about to take the Lord's Supper. And because of that, we have the new birth in Christ. Because of what we have received through Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, receiving what he did on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. What we are about to do right now in taking the Lord's Supper and having communion with him is remembering of what he did for us. The birth that we have, being born again, and then also what we have, that promise of when our earthly tent suit no longer is living here, where we will be in heaven, that true hope, that promise, because of the body that was broken for us, because of the blood that was shed for us, because of the power of the resurrection, because of the power of Jesus' name. And what a special time to remember what he's done for each and every one of us. What I want to remind you, and I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, is what the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthians when they are there at this time, remembering what the Lord had done. But he warns them, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, a woman, let them examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the person who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to their self, not discerning what the Lord said and what the Lord's body did for them. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, pass away. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So at this moment, I want us to remember it is very important to prepare our hearts as we partake in this time. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is there anything you need to repent of? Anything you need to forgive? Just seek the Lord so that you are ready to receive this special time of remembering the power of the Lord's Supper, the power of this communion, this time with him. So let's bow our heads. Pastor Janet, could you?
Oh, I love you. And so Dr. Teresa, also remember I had shared with y'all that she was appointed now as an apostle and then also is a pastor. So we are blessed to have her today give the message that the Lord has given her to share with us. Dr. Teresa, thank you so much for being with us today. We love you.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, I am excited. I was listening to a lot of things that you have said, and it's like they're all in my message. I told my husband, they're in my message. They're in my message. Because I have this problem every time I'll have three or four sermons. I'm listening to different things, and God has me ministering at different ministries and everything, and I'll be hearing different. I'm like, okay, God, which one? Okay, you give me three different messages. What message? But he kept taking me back to this particular message. And today I want to talk about walking and leading in victory. And we're going to go through a few scriptures here. But before we do that, I do have a visual. I would like Pastor Karen and her husband to come up here. And we're going to actually do a prophetic visual. And then I want the members of this church. Okay, no, I want you to turn here. The members here. Okay, hold hands. Okay. The members here to come beside each one of them.
You want this now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are the pastor. But he's pastoring with you, whether he has a mic or not.
Not too close to the speaker.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. whether he has a mic or not, he's still, you know, the two become one flesh. And as your leader goes through life difficulties, we are to walk beside them and to lift them up. And that's one area we're going to be coming from Exodus, where they were warring, and Moses, when he had his hands up, they were winning, but when he became weary, his hands came, when his hands fell, they came down. And so the Lord wants you to come beside her and undergird her as she goes through this difficult time in her life, undergird her and her husband, and to continue to pray, and that the healing of God, the hope and the healing and the love of God will continue to walk you through the grieving process, and that you'll be able to continue to carry on the mission of this house. Just as she would come along each of you as you're going through and life affects and impacts you, and she come along and hold your hand up, you too are to do the same for your leader. And so this is an act of showing her, not saying that you're not praying for her, that you're not lifting her up, but this is an act that she can see. So when she's having those dark times at home, or when she's going through those difficult times, she can have this picture in her eyes that you are behind her. You're coming beside her, and you're lifting her hands. And you're lifting her before the Father. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glory to God. So, that is something that he showed me. Because as leaders, I don't know how in 2013, it was a very hard year for clergy in the body of Christ. There were many people that had committed suicide. And it was many that, because they were going through rough things. One pastor in particular that touched me when I read his story, he had lost his wife. And he was... he was going through such a heavy grieving process where he would hear his wife's voice and he could hear her footsteps, and he couldn't seem to deal with that. And so we have to keep our leaders lifted up in prayer, because they are also lifting us up. And so we're going to talk about the war between the powers of good and evil. This is what it's all about, right? That's why Christ came, to break the power of evil from over our lives, so that we can live and have eternal life. And so I'm going to start off, I'm going to go to the first scripture verse that I have written here, and I have quite a few, but what I have here is Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. And I'm going to go into prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be a vessel to speak to your people. Lord, I ask you, speak through me. I decrease and you increase in me. Father, we ask that today you will give us our daily bread, something, Lord, speak to them in their hearts and in their minds, to give them strength to endure and courage to stand bold and stand fast in those things which you have called them to do. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the home. We thank you for the man of God that has allowed your services to be held here. We speak, yes, blessings, abundance, favor, and increase, yes, over everyone, yes, under the sound of my voice. Mm-hmm. Lord, this is a year of salvation and deliverance, and we thank you, oh God. We thank you that the harvest is ripe. We thank you for the plentiful harvest. We thank you, oh God, for the overflow and the increase in this ministry, even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. And so what God was speaking to me, and it's about the battle, it's about the war, it's about us coming against the forces. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus 17, and we're going to start at verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 15. This is a passage you may be familiar with, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then it reads, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses came to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. And we know specific statement, the Lord is my banner, as Jehovah Nisi. And so today I come in representation of the Lord to raise God's banner of Jehovah Nisi. No matter what this church has faced, Jehovah Nisi is here today
No matter what you have been going through, this year has started out for many with challenges and everything, but Jehovah Nissi, God is Jehovah Nissi. He will take out that which opposes you. He says that even your enemies, those that contend with you, contend with me, and your enemies become my enemies. And we serve that type of God, whereas we stand firm in what he has spoken and what he reveals to us in his word, that we can walk and lead in victory. Now, all of us are not called necessarily to pastor the church, but we lead by example. We become living epistles to the people that are out in the streets. We become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to the world. We become the visible Christ to them. And part of walking it out and leading it is to continue to walk in obedience to what God has revealed to us. And so one of the things that, this is my first time here, let me say that. And your name of your church, it really sticks out to me because God is a God, he loves names. We have to call on the name of Jesus to be saved. And, you know, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And when people were named in the Bible, their name symbolized everything. And like even with Jehovah Nissi, it means the Lord is my banner. So with the names, it's really important because names, everything has a name. We call things air. That's the name of it. Air. We have wind. That's the name of it. And so language is a symbolic picturism of what we use to describe and to discuss something. So when I look at the name of this church, Pathway of Hope, I looked up the definition of pathway, and it really stuck out to me. It's a path, usually a narrow way to be passed on foot. It's a narrow way. And we know that the Bible tells us broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the gate unto salvation. So here you're saying, okay, we are on the narrow path and that lead into salvation. It is also a way or a course of life. We know that the only way to the course going through that narrow way, it calls for righteousness, and that righteousness is through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. We know that in Christ, we may our tents, as she said, may die, but we shall live. We shall live. And so as the psalmist said, we shall live and not die and proclaim the glory of the Lord. So even if my tent gave up today, I have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so I'm just really excited about this pathway thing, because when I read that, it said a narrow way to be passed on foot. And it's a way in a course of life. And that narrow way part really stuck out to me because Jesus emphasizes that it's a wide is the way to destruction. And the Bible also tells us there is a way that seems right to man. See, it seems right, but it leads to destruction. And so then when I went to Hope, it's a lot of scriptures, and it's so many scriptures in the Bible that refers to hope. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then Romans 8:24-25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for. And then Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And then Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the last one that I picked out for hope, and which is very known, is 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love. The thing is that about hope is that you're not only a narrow passageway that it's not only a passageway that you're walking on, but you are pulling people, you're reaching out, you're being Christ, and you're pulling them onto hope. They've been walking on a broad way to destruction in death, but you're pulling them into life. And so to know that what God was talking to me about. He said, no, he said, it's a pathway. They're on a narrow pathway. I planted them here so that they could be that on this pathway, that they can reach out and grab the people and to pull them in so that they can come into life and commune with me in relationship and in intimacy with me. And so, glory to God. Glory to God. So even in his desert, in his valley, when they were fighting here, they were in a desert, they were in a valley. But God is, even in the midst of what would seem like a lifeless place, God is bringing up hope. He's bringing up a way out of no way. In this region, there is a, we have a principality. I don't know how you guys feel about spiritual warfare, but I'm going to release it. One of the major principalities here is hopelessness. But God said, no, I'm putting hope down in this valley. And Lord, that hope is you. Lord. Yeah. The hope is you.
Yeah. Thank you.
A lot of people are, they've given up. They you would think because the sun comes out 98% of the time during the year that, you know, people would be more cheerful and they would be more joyful because they say that the places that are more cloudy and more dreary, they have more hopelessness because of the weather and it's not light or anything. But no, it is a sense of hopelessness here. If you've been interacting with the people that's within Catalina or Tucson or Arizona, you sense a hopelessness, a dryness. And when I did a service on December 31st, the Lord had me go to Ezekiel 37, where it talks about the dry bones. And one of the things he revealed to me about the dry bones is that the dry bones was actually a state of being. And a state of being was hopelessness. The people had no hope. And he's telling Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to them, speak to these bones and tell them they shall live. Give them hope. And so this church is planted here in this specific place, in this specific region, as a pathway to speak, bring life, to rejuvenate and give the people hope, not only in Catalina, not only in Tucson, not only in Arizona, but even to the outmost parts of the world. And so to come in and see missions and all and praying and that is the key to all of it. But going back to how I started about uplifting your leader, she is the under shepherd. Christ is the shepherd of all of us, and she is the under shepherd, receiving insight into how God would guide this church and how he would guide each and every one of you. And I know that she loves Jesus, and I know she preaches the cross, and I know she preaches the foundation, and your foundation is good and steady and everything. However, we go through difficult times, and as she was sharing with them about the man with the song, and he went through the hard time of losing his wife and then his child, and he's, Lord, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm tired. And sometimes we get to that place, and sometimes some of you may go to that place. You might feel like, you know, I'm just tired. It's not working. Lord, I'm standing on your word. I'm trusting you. I've been doing what you told me to do. It just don't seem to be working out. And God wants you to grab onto your pathway of hope.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants you to grab onto your pathway of hope. For in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So if you are coming beside your leader when she's in a vulnerable time and you're uplifting them, and when you're in a vulnerable time, your leader is coming beside you and uplifting you, you're instilling hope into each other. And then as God continued to grow this place, because this place is going to grow, as God continued to grow this place and people start coming in, you're just replicating and duplicating more hope in this region and in this valley, and it's going to spread, and it's going to continue to spread abroad with your missions and the support that you give and even the donations that you give. You're giving out hope that there is something better, that someone does care, that there is life, that, you know, I interact with a lot of people, and just being nice to people, you would be, just speaking to people sometimes, you would be so surprised the impact of what a smile can do or what a hello can do, because people are going through such tough times, and sometimes it is misinterpreted, or because people can be mean and hurting people hurt people. And if I'm hurting and I'm just discouraged and I'm tired and, you know, my emotions are all out of whack and I'm all over the place, you might get a negative response from me. But then, so it's a lot of people like that, and they need hope. And you are to instill hope. This house is to instill hope, the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ. And I really felt honored when God showed. I felt really privileged about that. And I just give God glory for that, because it's not about entertainment. It's not about what I can get. It's about what I have received from Christ and being able to give it to other people. And it's an honor to come to a house like that. There's so many houses out there that is about entertainment, that is about getting my name out instead of getting Christ's name out. It is about doing what, you know, getting what I want instead of doing the Great Commission or doing what Christ has called me to do. And it's just really an honor to be in a house that honors Christ, and that loves Christ, and that is grounded upon Christ, and that is in love with Jesus Christ, and that is willing to go out and share that love of Christ with the world. And so, and you can feel the love in this place. You can feel the love. You can feel the Spirit of God in here. You could feel the warmth. You could feel the acceptance. And even though we may not have embraced each other physically, we have embraced each other. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, my dear friend, Pastor Karen, you have a wonderful, wonderful congregation. And you can feel the love. And you can feel the support. And God is good. If some of the pastors that have passed on from suicide and different things had a congregation such as yours, I believe they would still be here. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to keep the body of Christ lifted up, because I did a teaching recently on the suicide and how it's being very prevalent within the church. And so, and it's not just the clergy, it's people within a congregation, it's children. I did a research from the CDC, and with that, it's like from 10-year-old all the way up, is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. The 10th leading cause. And so people are hopeless. You would think, you know, that it would be some type of untreatable illness or something that was taking people out. No, it's self-inflicted. It's common because I don't see a way out. I don't, I would be better off if I weren't here, or they would be better off if they weren't here. And so the name Pathway of Hope by itself, it symbolizes a light, literally a light on the hill for the people. And we are on the hill. It symbolizes that. A light upon the hill, because it's dark. This is a dark world, and it continues to get darker and darker. And we have to continue to stand upon the principles and continue to be that light to this world. We have to continue to give hope to a dying people. We have to speak life to people. We have to use the resurrection power, that even though you're walking around with your body alive, spiritually you're dead, but we're going to speak life into you. We're going to speak hope into you, and that the word of the gospel is going to resurrect you and bring you to life, so that you too can be saved and walk on the pathway of hope. So I read about the war in Exodus. So it's like, how does that, what is it? Okay, they were fighting against another army, and that was a physical war. And so it's like, okay, how does that apply to us as current day believers? Well, we go to Ephesians 6, and we start at verse 10 here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So it shows us here that though we may not be coming against a physical army, we are still in a war. Once again, we go back to the good versus the evil, the light versus the darkness. And so us being the light of the world, we must contend with the darkness. When light comes, darkness must flee. However, as it says in Matthew 11 and 12, that is violence in the kingdom, and the kingdom take it by force. The darkness is not necessarily going to just flee because we showed up. We're going to have to actually engage in warfare, just like they did with Moses and Aaron and Hur and them. So we're going to actually have to engage in it. And most of it is done through the mind, in the mind. And so though the enemy is speaking death to these, to the people, and we're coming and we're speaking life, most of them have heard, you might as well give up. It's no hope. You know, you're nothing. We have to come and let them know. No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You can, God, through God, you can do all things. Amen. All things are possible with Him. You're the head and not the toe. You're the lender and not the bar. We begin to speak those things that God has said about them to change the tune that they've been listening to. Some of them have been listening to the wrong frequency. And after you listen to something for so long and so much death has been spoken in your life, you begin to believe it. And then when someone has come and tell you that your life can change dramatically by accepting Jesus Christ into your life and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you could be saved and not only saved, but then you can have eternal life, and not only eternal life, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit to come dwell within you, then it can cause such a change and transformation, in that not only can they accept Him and heaviness be lifted up off of them as they learn, you know, how to praise God, because God says He lifts up the off the garment of heaviness. And we put on the garment of praise. And so as we start to praise Him, the heaviness begins to lift, and we teach them how to have a relationship with God, and we disciple them in how to, to be disciplined in reading the Word and worship and prayer and fasting and all of these different things. And they start seeing their life change around. That's how we are the pathway of hope. However, it doesn't go so easy. Many of us that went out witnessing know it does not go so easy. It doesn't go that easy. It would be very nice if we could just walk up to them and say, you know what, just confess Jesus, your life is going to turn around, and confess your sins, and God is going to come in, and He's going to do. And then, okay, you know, we don't see people breaking down the doors to the church. Okay, unfortunately. And that's where the war comes in at. Because now we got to go in on the enemy's turf. And when we go in, we cannot go without our armor on. We got to have our armor on when we go in. Or are we going to get hit with a fiery dart? We have to be in prayer. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. And He said, don't go here. And like she said, you know, he learned to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. He said, don't go there. Don't go there. It's the reason why He's saying, don't go. Be still. But if He say, go over here, because there's a soul just waiting to hear the message of the gospel. Because you are the pathway of hope. We're going to keep going back to pathway of hope. And so the war comes in, and we're talking to them, but then they're hearing that tune that they've been hearing, you're nothing, you're nobody, oh, you'll never make it, life is too hard, and you're saying, you know what, God can change it around. He got great plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans of good health, plans of success. And they're looking at you like, whoa, where he's been all this time? And, you know, and then they start fighting back at you with the things that they're used to hearing. And so you're telling them, well, you know, that's the enemy. And some of them don't even believe in the enemy. And because the enemy has blinded them to the glory of the gospel. And so that's when we're engaged in war and we have to take it by force, meaning I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to beat you across the head with my Bible. Okay. Because the Holy Spirit is what's going to use the word that I'm speaking, the words, the Bible, what I'm delivering to you, to bring conviction on your heart and to convict you of sin and convict you into righteousness. And so I'm going to do is share and love on you. And if I have to plant a seed, I know that the Bible says that one plants, one waters, yes, and God gives the increase. And sometimes the watering comes from when we're in our private time and we've had a word of God spoken to us. And we've watered that word with our own tears. And when the seed is watered, it germinates. It takes root. It begins to sprout. And a fruit comes. So every time we share the gospel, that doesn't mean that we're going to see the result of what that word that was planted does. We won't see it all the time. Sometimes, hey, you know, God already been sending other people there, and they're just right for the picking. But the thing is, we don't fail in evangelism. The only time we fail is when we don't open our mouth to speak hope, to be that pathway of hope for the people. If we believe God is so good and we're so in love with him and we have such an intimate relationship with him and we understand who we are in him, then why would we withhold such a good thing from other people? We must remain that pathway of hope. We can't allow fear or intimidation from the enemy to keep us from being that pathway of hope. He will say things to us, well, you don't know. What if they ask you a question you can't answer? Or different things he will come at us with. But even if I can't answer it, I'm still going to be that pathway of hope. Whether I have to tell you that I'll get back with you or I have to call somebody on my cell phone and like, hey, you know, they asked this or, you know, and just even asking God to give me an answer or leading me somewhere in the scriptures to help answer that question. And even if I can't, you know, still be the pathway of hope. And continue to engage in battle. Continue to engage in battle. No, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. However, those principalities also operate through flesh and blood to people that are yielded to them. So we definitely have to be very careful when we are out there being a pathway of hope. God doesn't want us to walk foolishly and blindly about that. No, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but flesh and blood will come against us when under the disguise of a principality, a ruler, darkness, or powers of evil. And so we just continue to trust him and listen to him and continue to be that pathway of hope. Amen. And so I'm going to get ready to close because I don't usually stay up long. I hit it and I give you what God has given me. What he has spoken to me is that to encourage you, a message of encouragement and healing. Your home, your leader has come across something very difficult within her life. And, you know, it puts her in a vulnerable position. As you continue to be the pathway of hope, continue to lift her up and encourage her as she do the same for you. Because that she does do that for you. She's a dear friend of mine, and I love her, and we meet for coffee, and she just loved Jesus, and she loved all of you guys. And, you know, and even though I haven't met you, I have met you. Because, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. And I wanted to encourage you to do that, to continue to lift each other up. This house will grow. The health of a church is not necessarily based upon its seating capacity. It is based upon its seating capacity. So just know it's not based upon what we see, right? If you could, I believe some of you may have seen. I believe God has some people in here that He opened your eyes in the spirit realm. If you do see that, you will see that this church is bigger than what it looks like on the natural. It's bigger than what it looks like in the natural. It is fuller than these physical bodies in here. And not only is it fuller, you know, in the spirit, but it also is going to become fuller in the physical. Because this is the pathway of hope. God has ordained and orchestrated this place to be here on this hill on purpose. It is no coincidence, and it has a purpose in this dry, in this area where we have people around surrounding this place with dry bones that need life spoken to them so that those bones could come in and gain life and gain hope coming through the pathway, which is the narrow path passed on foot. In a way of righteousness is life, and in a pathway thereof there is no death, because they have been given hope. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
So, how many of you know she was right on of what God has given us? And I remember when I was telling you I was jealous because others of you had seen that growth and I hadn't had that vision until one day a few months ago, and then the Lord gave it to me. And when I was trying to reason out, well, where are the cars to all the people lined up to come in here? And that's when the vision stopped, because I was using my human reasoning to try to work it all out, the details. But I did see it. And what is really neat is it's so true. We have a church family that is full of love and support. And the day that I heard the news on January 5th, driving up here, ready to come in, Dick was, you know, outside that day, and he was like, uh-oh. Something's, he saw tears rolling down, and because I'd just gotten the news as we were driving up. And, I mean, right as we were driving up. And so I was like trying to compose myself and say, Lord, I got to get my act together. Got to give the word that you gave our church for 2014 and in the scripture, and I've just got to stuff this down, and I'll do the grieving and mourning later. And then Pastor Janet came out and gave me a hug. Pastor Karen, we'll do whatever. Worship songs, testimonies. You don't have to go through. And then Chris came out. And then Pastor Karen, you know, let us minister to you. You always minister to us. Let us minister to you. And then when I walk in, Dick reminds me of, he said, the previous senior pastor asked me to have a sermon always ready in my Bible. Pastor Karen, I have that sermon ready in my Bible. And so, and wasn't it fitting? Wasn't it just apropos? I mean, God knew all of this. The Holy Spirit knew all of this before I walked in, because remember that week before, everything that I'd done when I was at the house on the hill near Angela's Temple, near Azusa Street, the Bonnie Bray house, when I was staying there and did all that time of prayer and seeking the Lord, and for 2014 and had that and did all that research and studying, it was gone, remember? Somehow, some way, that file had gotten corrupted, and it was gone. So I was staying up late because I had jail ministry that week, too, and I was staying up, not getting much sleep. And then I remember driving up going, when that happened and Dick wound up, I remember thinking as I'm crying back there in the back, well, Lord, if I would have known that, I could have gotten more sleep. I was just like, man. But, But you know what? God knew all of that. Then it was prepared for the next Sunday. And then I'll go on from there. I still haven't recovered everything. I'll have to do more study time. But I remember Leif Hetland, you know, with Global Awakening, sharing that as he was doing much ministry among the Muslims. And the Lord was using him. And he said, all of a sudden, everything got corrupted. All their computers crashed. Everything. And it was like, okay, Lord, something good's about to happen. I just feel like something good's about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. When God's people get together and call on Jesus. And I can't remember the rest of the song exactly. But then I surprised you with a little bit of a youthful song there last weekend. Last Sunday, because I said the Lord's going to be bringing youth, and we've got to remember the worship is all about Him. So we're going to be changing it up. We all have our comfort zones, but I know I have a wide range of what I like on music, but some prefer more this other style, this and that and the other. But we're going to change it up as the Lord leads, because He's going to use that to help draw in for them to hear the word and to receive the healing and deliverance that He has. And we are praying in that. So I just got you used to that a little bit last week. And while we were driving with my daughter and some of the rap, and it's like, oh, some of it is so good because some of them have been so changed by the power of the Lord. And you hear their testimonies, and you may not like rap, but boy, the power of the words and the song is worship unto Him. So I just thank you because it is such a confirmation. One time, remember, when I was sitting at our home, which is a little bit over there, and all of a sudden at dinner time we saw this big bright light. No other house had the big bright light. It was this home because we got our binoculars. And the fire was gone. And the Lord blessed us to be able to see it a couple days. And so I took that picture. And that's why when we have that one slide where it shows the fire brighter, I found something to do that. But it was a picture of this home where the church meets and then getting brighter. Our God has some mighty things ahead of us. And I had the pleasure of meeting a gentleman at a conference. And then he then in told, you got to come here when you're in this area, Dave and Betty. And it's just so neat to have you here. And I said, that was also another encouragement from the Lord for me today. But this is a special time, what we are about to approach. Because the Lord called Pathway of Hope to be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. Isaiah 62, we are to continue to go to and refer to, and it talks about the banner over us. It talks, then remember the Lord revealed to me, we are now called, and we aren't going to be Path of Hope. We'll be known as we are a house. And when did I receive that? Not only was I spoken that, but then looking online, because I don't always look at the Elijah list and the prophetic messages through that, but then the Lord led me to it. And another pastor in Oregon had received the same thing. There's a name change happening. And it was at the same time I had received from the Lord that we are now to be called. There was a name change. And we are ready. Many of us are going to see release of the power of healing. We are going to see the Azusa Street, and that's why I showed the picture of Bonnie Bray House here. But it's only because our hearts are seeking Him. We are humble in spirit, and we love Him, and we're seeking Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, our whole being. And we are having those eyes willing to see what He is speaking to us, those ears willing to hear what He is speaking to us, and the heart willing to be obedient no matter what. And with that, and as we continue to grow in Him, being His vessels, His instruments, to be used for His purposes and His glory. As we join together, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we will see his mighty hand move, because he will be using us for his glory and for his purposes. And I am excited of what God has for each one of us. But in that midst, I just want to thank you for being there and for lifting me up in prayer in one of the hardest weeks of my life. And as you continue to lift me up in prayer, for the grieving and mourning is deep this time. And it took me by surprise how deep and heavy it is this time. But I know God's there with me. And I appreciate each and every one of you. For that's what Pathway of Hope is all about. But in this time too, as we approach the prayer altar ministry, that is also the power of prayer at work. The power of claiming what Jesus did for us. The power of the resurrection. The power that by his stripes we are healed. The power of his name. The power of his blood. So I want you, if you feel led to come up for the prayer altar ministry, to come up for the prayer altar ministry. If you just want to be here and just praising and worshiping the God, then be here praising and worshiping the God, our Lord God. If you want to take one of these kneeling pads and kneel before him, take one of the kneel pads and kneel before him. But praise and worship him during this time.
At the Start the Year Off Right conference that we just went to, Dutch Sheets said that the Lord told him that a 40-year curse has been broken. And because of that, we will see signs and wonders, miracles and healings. Mm. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. So if there's anything, and 2014 is a year of deliverance, if any of you need it, grab it, because I am convinced that he's doing it. Not he is going to, he's doing it.
Thank you. So be blessed during this time.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
Soft and still.
Lord, heal, restore with love. Teach my heart, heal my soul. Speak the mind that in Christ we know. Take me to
still going on, as you can see. And I invite you to stay and be ministered to. And I understand if you do need to go, so you are dismissed, and may the Lord's blessings go with you. May He work through you. May you be His hands and feet as you go into the mission field this week. Amen.